Sarah Kleinfelter?
Here.
Sean Pingleton? Frank Preston?
Here.
Joey Staples?
Here.
And Carl Pride. Madam Chairman, we do have quorum.
Yes, we do. Again, because this is the public hearing, let me remind people that if you want to speak on any of the proposals going through the process tonight, you need to sign up. And Mr. Coxey, if you'll explain the procedures for tonight's meeting.
This is the Taney County Planning Commission public hearing procedures. Public hearings are required and governed by the Taney County Development Guidance Code and are held on each Division 3 application, which is filed with the Taney County Planning Commission staff. The Taney County Development Guidance Code is Exhibit A. The staff report for each case is Exhibit B, and the staff file, including all pertinent information for each case, is Exhibit C for all cases to be heard at the public hearing. A staff report for each request will be read to the commission, followed by a video and any questions for staff. If you would like to comment at the public hearing, you must sign the sheet, which is provided at the front of the room. Registration for comment will cease before the hearing begins. When it is your opportunity for comment, your name will be called. Please walk to the podium at the front of the room to address the commission. All comments and questions are to be addressed to the Planning Commission, not to anyone in the audience. The Planning Commission may allow further comment at their discretion. At the conclusion of public comments, the public hearing on each request will be closed. The regular meeting of the Planning Commission will be held 1 week after the public hearing. The projects will be reviewed and voted on by the Commission at that meeting. The regular meeting is an open meeting, however, no additional public comments shall be taken unless expressly requested by the Commission, and you may leave after your case is heard.
Okay. First project for the evening is Briarwood on Lake Taneycomo. And Mr. Coxey, if you'll go through the staff report first of all then.
This is the staff report for Briarwoods on Lake Taneycomo LLC, dated December 14th, 2009, case number 09-31. This is the public hearing for the Briarwood on Lake Taneycomo LLC, located at 1685 Lakeshore Drive, in the Scott Township, Section 28, Township 23, Range 21. The applicant, David W. and Carrie L. Hover, request approval to change a previously approved condominium project into fractional ownership. History is that the project was approved for whole ownership condominiums on February 21, 2006. The general description, the subject property contains 3.39 acres and is located off of Lakeshore Drive. The adjoining properties to the development consist of Lake Taneycomo to the north, a resort to the east, residential to the west, and undeveloped to the south. Review: the proposed site consists of a total of the project of three condominium buildings, a residence, and a pool area. There's a total of 24 units allowed on the property. The property is accessed from Lakeshore Drive, which is a 19-foot paved surface with 27-foot access. A score of 26 points on the policy checklist was achieved out of a possible 65. The issues receiving negative score were traffic, pedestrian circulation, and road right-of-way. If the summary is, if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Taney County Planning Commission. Number one, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. Number two, compliance with the previous decision of record. And number three, the decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire.
Okay.
I think we've seen this project quite a bit. If you'll notice, this is property right up here, and if you'll remember, also there's another project right beside it that also is a condominium project came through within a couple months of each other when they came through.
And this was about a year and a half ago or so that we were.
Yeah, we actually approved it in 06.
Okay.
Briarwood has been before several times since then. Also, they came through, got the original approval. They had some other buildings. They wanted to add another building down to kind of in the floodplain area. They came back about the house that was down in this area. One time we're going to take it out, try to put another building in there or something. And then
has ownership changed?
No, ma'am, it has not. They would wish that a lot of the ownerships would change, but right now sales have been real slow, and that's why they're here. They do have one of the three buildings is built and completed. And just like everybody that you can think of that's a developer, they're sitting on a lot of property that is just not moving at this time. And we've had several people in before us with condominium projects this year talking how they're having trouble with financing and all kind of things going on. But that's the project. What they're asking for doesn't actually change anything concerning this project other than the fact that it will allow multiple owners in these units. Now, I don't know, it's not a full-blown by week, on week type of what they're asking for. They're asking more for like a total of 5 or 6 owners per unit or something like that. It may be, you know, we'd want to specify what kind of unit, something like that. Depending on who you are and how you want to discuss it, it may increase traffic a little bit. Whereas these, when we, I think, approved them as whole ownership with the thinking that whoever bought that would live in it and they would be more like a resident than a tourist and everything. But I don't know that it has that much effect. That would be more into Mr. Preston's line of work and everything as far as what traffic would happen here and everything like that. But they've not asked for an increase in any kind of buildings or anything like that. Just the change of ownership style, I guess, would be what we're looking at. So.
And Eddie, before you go any further, the piece of property that sits very close to the lake.
This right here. I think it's probably a little bit different than what this. I believe it sits a little closer to here. We'll ask Mr. Hover about that. This is the pool, and it does exist. It's like an infinity pool, if I remember correctly, out there. A pool in the area that houses that.
Okay. So it's not a residence?
No, ma'am. This was one of the existing homes that was there. I'm trying to think right now. I believe this is the first building here, and then there's room for a couple more to go in there that are not built yet. And then, of course, they will not build those until these are okay. The one that's out that's close to sold out. So, otherwise, that's kind of the site plan for it. And what else you got, Ben?
We got that except the movie.
Okay, we got a little movie for you. Again, we've still got the same program. But here we go, and of course, you know, there's not a lot to see. You can see it all from here, but this is the, there's not a lot, there's a little more to see.
Who's filmed after dark?
No, that's the other one. I know we filmed it. Okay. We're going to come out here a little bit later. It's a longer drive to get out here.
We're not there yet, are we?
No, it's the same place, but it is a pretty day.
We'll get there yet.
There we go. And as we come around, this will make more sense, hopefully. So, but yeah, this is the existing building here. Of course, that was the one house on the left end. You face the picture. This is the other house, and this would be the pool area back in here. And I don't know that I'm going to take you down there to show you that because you can basically see everything that there is to see from here. Of course, Lakeshore Drive runs around it. This was the other condominium project here that was through Mr. Lake. No, what Lake is long. Charles.
Keith.
I don't think we walked down there, so, but that's basically what it is.
Okay, and when you pull out of the driveway, you're right on top of Lakeshore Drive.
Yes, ma'am. That is correct. Yeah. Originally, when we discussed this project, because I did go back and pull the films on it and everything, they talked at one time about having a gate here, and there was a lot of concern about having enough room for a couple of cars to pull in, not being on Lakeshore Drive. It ended up not being gated, so there is some room there. There's not, on that end of the lakeshore, you know, it doesn't go on a whole lot longer down through there, but it does somewhat, and I don't know what it's like in the summer. There are some resorts down in there that have been changing. Matter of fact, we had a couple of them come through. They've changed from being just a nightly rental type resort to, they changed their ownership to condominiums and asked to build differently down in that area. So, and then if you go on further down, of course, the Timber Mill condominiums are down there on the other end also, which are whole ownership condominiums. So I don't know how bad the traffic is, to tell you the truth, but that was one of our concerns when we approved the project in 2006. That is another concern that we did have on our policy checklist, that, you know, it was traffic, it was the size of the road and the right-of-way that existed there. At one time, Kennecuck did propose a road that would bypass and then come back in down in this area here. I don't think that's going anywhere. Haven't heard anything on that. And Mr. Bronner may know a little more about that. But the road is what it is. I don't know of any other developments coming in or anything down there other than what we've approved in the last year or so.
Okay. Thank you very much. People that have signed up to speak, Mr. John Hofer. Because you're the representative for the project.
Right.
Why don't you maybe wait?
Sure.
Because there might be some questions for you. Mr. Lonnie Watkins. Okay. Right. Mr. Watkins, if you'll come forward and for the record, identify yourself, please.
Thank you. I'm Lonnie Watkins, and my wife and I, we have purchased a condo there in the Redbud Shores Estates. And my concern is, you know, I've looked at both of these at the same time, and neither one of these were to ever be nightly rentals, ever. And we went with Redbud for the simple fact that, you know, I liked it a little bit better, and it's still, to this day, of course, is not a nightly rental. And, probably doesn't hurt anything to rent those every night. I don't really know about that, but my concern is, you know, is what's fractional? What we call, what's a fractional rental? We talked about 2 months at a time, a day. I know over the Thanksgiving holidays that there was a lot of people over there, and I don't think that's a nightly rental now, but it was used as a nightly rental, and that's my concern, you know. And then we're letting you know, and how hard is it when you purchase one of these things and you get all of these 36 pages of rules? Do those? How much does it? What does that mean? And I understand, you know, they say, well, whoever has the most ownership in this can you have your own association. But till none of those are sold, how can we just turn it into a nightly rental? And I'm not really opposing that, but I see what's coming for the one I'm living in. Because I'm right next to it. Okay. And I'm the only one living there now. And, you know, and they are having a lot of trouble selling them. And I realize that. But you know what? That doesn't help me whenever I put my hard-earned money in there and then they turn them into nightly rentals. And that's what really concerns me. Okay. Because I've looked at condos all over Branson. I would not buy one because they were nightly rentals. And I don't hardly get moved in till we're wanting to change these things. Okay. And that's my concern.
And your concern is the management system then for your adjacent
That's correct.
Property.
And, you know, but that does join me. Because at the time, I was told that that would never be a nightly rental back when I was looking at real estate. But, you know, and I realized all that, and I know the economy, I know it's rough. You know, I know they're having a hard time selling. But that's going to make it rough on those poor old boys that went out there and bought them, too, with the intention that it was never going to be a nightly rental.
So, again, Mr. Watkins, you're really asking for a definition of, in this
yes.
case, what does fractional ownership
mean? What does fractional mean? If we're talking about somebody moving in each one of those for 2 or 3 months at a time, that's one thing, but renting them every night is another. And I think you all will agree with me on that. And also, if it's a fraction, who controls it? Who controls a fractional rental? Who controls when I look over there and that old boy's there one night and he's gone the next? Who do I contact and say, listen, we're having nightly rentals over here?
Okay. And that's an interesting contractual agreement that we need to find out about.
But that was my concern, you know, the bottom fell out of this thing, and here we bought this with assurance it's never, ever, and furthermore, we're going to have a gated community. But you know what? I don't think any of that's going to happen. And that is bad. It's a bad situation, but it's not, but it's really bad for us people that have already purchased those things.
Sure.
We're going to get.
Do you have any idea what number of condos in your building have changed hands and now have private ownership?
Okay, well, the bank has took this condo back over that I'm living in.
Okay.
And it's really created another problem. But I'm the only one that's lived there. Bill lived there for a while, but he's moved out. He's moved down to Briarwood now because I see his vehicle down there.
Okay.
And Bill lived there.
And you're talking about a specific condo. You're not talking about the project as
a whole. No, Mr. Keith's project has been taken over by the bank.
Yeah, Mr. Okay. Keith, he's the one that
sold
built all this.
One condominium out there, was my understanding.
Yeah. And we own it. That's us.
Okay. Okay.
And that's the only one that's been sold, and it's the only one that's sold as of now.
The project next door.
But yeah, it was a bad time to build condominiums.
It was a bad time to buy, wasn't it?
Well, I don't know. It might have been a good time to buy.
Well, because, see, when I've got a stack of rules this high, what's going to happen? I'm paying all these homeowner fees.
Well, if you are the only person in the Property Owner Association, I think you're in control.
Well, no, because the bank's in control, because they own the majority of it.
Okay.
But my problem is, you know, I'm never going to get my pool and my exercise room and my sauna, my new boat dock, I'm never going to get it. I'm just stuck there in this one building. But that's neither here nor there. We're talking about Briarwood.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
And thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Watkins. While interesting questions. Yes.
While I did, at the request of this board, pull the videotapes of the meetings for Briarwood when we were in 06, the public hearing and the vote. Nowhere could I find where they had requested nightly rentals, nor did I find anywhere where we denied nightly rentals.
Right.
Did not find any mention of nightly rentals.
Yeah, I don't think it came up
at all anywhere in here. I did have a call from the lawyer representing, I suppose, the bank who took Redbud Shores, asking me if they were approved for nightly rentals. I pulled their tapes too, and it was not mentioned. It was not approved. It was not disapproved. They've taken the stance that since we were a resort, that we should still be able to operate as a resort. I told them a lot of times in those situations when this change came about that they forfeited whatever they were before and were approved for this, although we didn't put any stipulations on that. So as you go, be aware of that. And I'm sure that the bank is looking for, as this gentleman has stated, the possibility that we could do something like that. But it will come up.
Mr. Watkins, further comment?
But my point is that, mine's not called a resort. It's called Redbud Shores Luxury Condominiums. Yes, it's not referred to as a resort.
Right.
Got it.
And that's...
It was a resort before, is what the bank was saying.
Oh,
since we had nightly rentals then, we...
I realize that, but, we're under a different deal now.
Yes, and that's the statement I'm making to this board.
It's altogether different. Tremendous difference.
Yes, okay. Sir, and I understand. But, and they were presented to you as whole ownership condominiums.
Okay, but before I let you go, Mr. Watkins, do you have a pool? Do you have the exercise room?
No.
So that never got finished?
No.
Then.
But at the time I purchased this, I was under the assumption that it was going to be finished.
Okay.
See, but it's never going to be finished now. We both know that.
And I believe he had the okay to build. Was there one more building out
yes,
there?
Yes, yes.
There was another.
There's
another
12 units where I'm at. Of course, okay. I know we're getting on Redbud.
Yeah, let's make sure that we're getting
right.
Our
I know we're getting on my project, and that's really not what we're here to discuss. Yeah. But I'm thinking is
Mr.
it is.
Mr. Watkins, thank you.
Thank you
very much. Mr. Edwards.
The issue before us is
fractional ownership.
Correct.
Not nightly rental.
Right,
that
exactly.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Okay,
well, let's move on. Pat Watkins, anything that you'd like to add to this discussion?
I'd just like to add that there is
Again, my name is Pat Watkins.
Okay, my name is Pat Watkins, and I live next door in Redbud Shores.
Uh-huh.
There is a lot of traffic in the summer, especially with the Canacooks. I can attest to that.
Yeah, we know. Okay, Mr. Hover. So let's have a definition of fractional ownership and what your contractual agreements with...
John Hover, and what we're asking for is each unit will consist of 13 individual owners. So everybody would own 4 weeks a year, 1 week per season. I guess that's pretty standard in this fractional deal around here. And to clear up a couple things Mr. Watkins had, we never intended anything but whole ownership when we built this. And, of course, times changed. And the only reason I've been able to survive is I don't do nightly rental. I have a weekly vacation rental program. I have an outfit that runs it for me. That's the only reason I've been able to even survive. But I only have 3 units furnished. And we've also only sold 1 unit in this last 3 years. Mm-hmm. And he's also on the nightly rental program, or weekly rental program. And there's absolutely nothing in our CCRs or anything that we marketed forbidding a vacation rental. So he must have been bad information from a realtor or somebody, because we never okay. came across as not allowing a weekly rental. Because some of our investors were interested in a little extra income while they weren't there. So
let me go back a minute to something that you said. You said 13 owners or 4 weeks per year.
Yes.
Are you implying that those 4 weeks per owner mm-hmm. would be distributed throughout the year?
A typical, we're just taking baby steps in this whole thing.
Okay.
But what I understand is they would each get a 1 week per season.
So spring,
this is
summer,
a vacation.
Fall,
this is a vacation place.
Winter, okay.
Yeah, and that's nobody's never looking. Now we're not looking for full time tenants. We're looking for vacation people.
Okay.
Yeah. Are these people that take this a week at a time or 4 weeks? Are they going to be allowed to?
Well,
to do it nightly if they wanted to rent them to somebody else.
Let me
clarify something for you, Mr. Hubbard. First. If you rent it out on anything less than 30 days at a mm-hmm. time, it's considered nightly rental.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah,
so that's why we're using the term nightly rental. It doesn't
mean
if they rent it by the week, it's still nightly rental.
I understand. For a weekly, I know nightly means anything less than 30 days. I get that. I get that part. But I had not planned to forbid them from doing a rental program. But I was going to make, first of all, since we do have one owner, he has to allow this change for our CCRs. We can't just do this arbitrarily.
Okay, CCR
or
is...
Covenants and restrictions for the project. And we can't... The bank can't come into him and say, we're just doing something different. They got to get his permission, even though they're a majority owner of property.
Maybe.
It's stuck to the state of Missouri laws. So.
I hope you're right.
Yeah, I checked it. I shouldn't be talking to him. But yeah, but he's protected. And the one owner we also have is all aboard on this with us.
And still, if you have someone come in there and buy the rest of them up or buy them, and they decide they want to, this one guy says, okay, I'm not going to be here my 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I want to rent mine out nightly.
Okay.
That's a nightly rental.
Totally.
Okay.
Right.
So you're saying if somebody came in and bought the whole existing building and he just rents them out. He's,
yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That is a possibility to cap. Also, Mr. Hover, something you're probably not aware of, for anybody to buy one of these and put it in the nightly rental program, they've got to treat it as a commercial business, and they're going to have the taxes changed.
Gotcha.
And so they will all go to 33% on the taxes,
gotcha.
Which is tremendous. So
mm-hmm.
make sure they're aware of that, because tomorrow I'll have to notify the assessor.
Mm.
So they need to be aware that the taxes will be more than if they bought it just as.
That'll probably surely throw my one buyer out. I'm sure. Okay, great.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And then you also probably ought to check into what the state statutes are on hotel motel taxes that need to be
gotcha.
Paid because there's some
other. Fire code.
I believe, depending, yes, if they're in nightly rentals, and they may already be sprinkled, because most of the condominiums they were building at that time
right.
are requiring, so he probably already meets fire code. That's probably not an issue.
When I bought this property, Mr. Bradford, I think his name was, built this in 64, it was 16 two- and three-bedroom dilapidated cottages. Mm-hmm. All I've got built is eight more, and he had, same thing, he had a nightly rental program. It was a little fishing resort.
Mm-hmm. It was a resort.
Right. Right. Different terminology.
Exactly.
But it still did the same kind of business that I'm trying to do now. And I've only got eight units built, so the traffic is less than half right now. And I don't see in the foreseeable future, before these two new bridges are built, so I'm going to have two more buildings here. But I think the main traffic issue was funneling of the traffic on from Lakeshore onto E-76. That's the feeling I got last time we were here.
Yeah, that's where the bottleneck.
That's everybody was worried about the bottleneck.
That's one of them, but I think
that's one of the issues.
The other one.
Doing weekly rentals now.
Right. Right.
Wasn't prohibited. That's why I was telling you that this board asked me to look at that, and I did go back and look. It wasn't discussed by Mr. Hover or by this board. It wasn't permitted by the board. It wasn't denied by the board. It was not mentioned.
But didn't you say that we approved whole ownership?
It was presented to you as whole ownership condominiums.
So
but just because, again, let me take you here. If I go to Mr. Hover today and I say I want to buy this unit, It's mine. I'm the whole owner. He says, I can rent it out for you. I say, go for it. I'm still the whole owner.
I have restrictions in the covenants to say they can only do weekly rental, even though that still concerns nightly rental.
Are we allowing nightly rental for these type of units that we haven't approved nightly rental for?
You have not denied it. You did not mention it one way or the other.
So anything we didn't deny, that's a little tricky.
You didn't say they could. He didn't ask for it. He didn't deny it. Yes, if you want to push it, we can drag it back in and say, in our eyes, you need to get approval for nightly rental. They will make the case, I'm sure, as the lawyer for the bank is, that this was a resort. We just tore down an old resort and built a new one. And it wasn't a land use change from what it was originally.
But when it went from resort to condo.
My attention
condo is the style of ownership.
If we got any property that's got that many ownership, it's fractional ownership.
I'm sorry, Mr. Edwards.
Have we got any projects like this where we allow 13 owners?
Sure, you did that out at Branson Creek, out there at the cabanas at Branson Creek, if you remember. We did everybody's buying 4 weeks, if I'm not mistaken, building duplexes.
Four
different owners on each half. That's what it was.
We're talking about 13 owners here, aren't we?
But you do have projects where you have 50 owners when they only buy a week.
Eddie, how does this current request meet the current code?
We allow condominium style of ownership where everything except the interior, usually of the structure, is held in common and maintained by either the homeowner association
right.
or the condominium development
right.
Association. We have allowed anywhere from a single owner in a condominium to, and I'll reference you out to Cross Creek, when Mr. Epps came in for the few homes that he built out there, where he sold more than 50 owners in a building because some of those people bought 1 week every other year. So, It comes in all shapes and sizes. What Mr. Paulson will tell us is if we did not specifically state in our decision of record, then unless it's violating a portion of our condominium, of our code book, then we cannot enforce something like that. I think you could probably look at this and say, we approve whole ownership condominium, and you could drop back to the place and say, when we said whole ownership, we were talking one condominium, one owner, and it may get pushed to a court situation to be clarified, and they would argue that this was a resort. We changed the way the buildings and stuff were situated and the ownership, but we have not changed the use of the land, and that would be a decision to be honed out there. Normally, if we would come out to a house on Lakeshore Drive and find out that they were doing a nightly rental, we would immediately stop them and say, this is a single-family residential structure, and it's not been approved for nightly rentals, and that'll have to go through the approval process, and we've done that with several places down in Poverty Point, places like that. So it's just a matter of how this board would view their decision, and I'm happy to chase it any way you want to chase it.
Well, I thought we had always required where we had nightly rental for somebody to be responsible, be in charge of that.
We did start that
here
about a year and a half ago. We got pretty particular about people coming in and saying, I'm going to do nightly rentals at Branson Canyon, several other places where we were requiring them to set up and then notify. At the time that these people came through, We weren't quite as savvy on trying to make sure that we caught those kind of things. After we had gone through some of the drawn-out processes that we had with people wanting to do nightly rentals, we got a lot better about that. I'll reference you down to Emerald Point. I'm not trying to think of down there off of Hillhaven. Was it Hillhaven? No, it's over at by Chateau on the Lake.
Off of Linhart.
Yes, off of Linhart down there at the bottom. There was a condominium project. And you specifically, years ago, stated to them, no nightly rentals.
But as I understand his request, the 13 owners would be, each one of them could allow nightly rentals.
And there's a difference here, gentlemen, from what he's asking. He's not really asking you for nightly rentals or not nightly rentals. He's saying, can I have 13 owners of this property?
Per unit.
Per unit, yes.
Well, we came 13 different people being charged.
Right, and those 13 people would be owners, and they may come in and use all four of their weeks. Or as you've stated, I may come in and buy the whole building, whatever's left, or I may come in and buy three or four units, whatever's left, and use it strictly as a
motel.
When we came to you folks in 06, we didn't plan rentals. I was going to build these, live in them, and be gone, and they were going to be in charge of their own project. After 2 years of selling nothing, I had to do something to survive. So that's when we went to the vacation rental program. So that was kind of an afterthought, not something.
So
not
this
something
is really a marketing ploy on really, your part to
right.
get the units turned.
It takes a wheelbarrow of money to do this marketing, which that would be the next step to this whole thing. But I'm looking at some way to survive is what we're doing.
The problem that I see is not either nightly rental versus weekly or yearly or whatever, even though the traffic and the numbers of people, obviously changed. But it is selling a property with a really mixed use. So, but you're not far enough into the sales.
No.
That you think you're one person who bought it as a full ownership condominium.
He's willing to sell his fractionals too.
Okay.
He's willing to get into the program.
But what bothers me is if you've got, let's take for instance this gentleman here.
Right.
He's bought his condo, whole ownership. He owns it. Okay, now then, if he's got these people in this same building and they're renting this nightly.
Two different projects.
I'm just using this for a reference.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm using this for a reference.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Then he's got people going in and out of his condo all hours of the day, all hours of the night. And he's living here permanently. Then he's disturbed 24 hours a day by people going in and out of his building.
There is a difference between people who live there 24/7, 365, and people who are here for the week. Definitely.
When he bought this, his covenant should protect him. He should know that going in, whether it's going to be allowed or not. Or specifically state there will be rental. So we're not hoodwinking anybody. And I don't know what the bank's going to do there. But I don't want mine sitting empty like his is, where the bank owns it and just going to sit there and turn to dust.
But I don't care what the bank says. I've got 36 pages and it's recorded right here in the courthouse of what the covenants are on this condominium.
They're still going to have to come here in front of us to do that.
I know
to do
what my fractional. How hard it is to do.
Bill Key set those covenants
up. Well, if they show up, you just make sure you're here.
So what, Mr. Hover, you are saying is that your covenants state very clearly that this is not going to allow nightly rental.
It is allowed. Our covenants state it is allowed.
That's what he's going to change it to, right?
No.
No, he's wanting to have multiple owners.
My original covenants allow weekly rental. It says weekly, but we know it means nightly. Bill Key's... I know Bill pretty well.
Okay.
Let's don't worry
okay,
about
yeah.
Let's
yeah.
focus on you.
When he set his up, he specifically excluded rental at his because he didn't want that.
Okay, but let me make perfectly clear that you are saying you are asking for fractional ownership defined
Correct.
By 13 owners per unit.
Specifically.
4 weeks during the course of the year.
Correct.
But that each of those owners could then sub-rent.
Unless... You guys just hate that, I guess.
You
like,
put that in
the yeah, you
I
can. You could.
I just despise it.
I get that feeling.
Let me ask you a question, because we've got two things going on here. Again, he's not asked us if we're okay with nightly rentals or not. I definitely get the impression that we're not the way it's being done without an approval, that we're okay with that. And it's probably something we're going to have to pursue and get before you for something like that. And wherever that goes, that's where it goes. He's asking you if these can be split up and sold as basically timeshares. Mm-hmm. That's what he's asking. You know, do you have a problem with that? Now, each one of these owners may use 1 week and put the rest of them out there to be rented. And I'm sure that's...
But we have the option to limit.
We do.
I suppose you could make the stipulation, and this is not the meeting for that or anything, but you could probably make the stipulation. We will approve fractional ownership with the exclusion of nightly rental. And he may not want that, or he may take that to the Board of Adjustment and say, you know, I'd like to get this removed, or whatever the case might be. You may look at it and say, we better not go any further until we get this nightly rental issue cleared up. You know, and on your next, when it's time for you to vote or whatever, if that's going to be an issue for you. What he's asking for as far as fractional ownership is not going to change how he's running business right now until we do something differently if you want that changed.
I don't know why we would allow 13 people to use this nightly rentals whenever we've made other property owners have somebody in charge if they had nightly rentals.
And that may be a stipulation you'd like to set up. We didn't approve nightly rentals. We just didn't deny it. If I can tell you that. Until just a few weeks ago, I wasn't really aware that nightly rental was going on, and I did have somebody call and say, are you aware that they're doing some nightly rentals out there? And at that particular time, that's when it's all started to come up, but I knew he was coming back through, and I knew it would come up here.
I have a question. We had a house, someone that was doing that with their home. How is that any different?
I'm not saying it is any different.
Okay. I mean, are we assuming something?
Again, as Mr. Styron has informed us many, many, many times, all condominium is as a style of ownership. Mm-hmm. It limits what you own or how you own it. It doesn't say now that you know that this has to be an apartment. It can be a single family home. It can be 30 unit building. It can be a 1 unit building. It's just what you own and what's held in common. What's done with that, as far as nightly rentals, fractional ownership, or anything like that, is a different request in itself. Basically, when we approve condominium style of ownership, we're approving a section of land and everything to be held in common with a very limited ownership of a structure as a rule, whether it be an apartment or a house.
So, playing the devil's advocate here, you know, this was a resort. So why can't it still be a resort, only vertical? I mean, it goes up high now. It goes up four or five levels.
Contingent.
And you sell it as a resort. You sell it as motel rooms, basically.
Exactly what they're doing.
It's kind of what we're forced into.
So what's so wrong with that? You know, but you said there were tax implications.
There's a lot of different things because... When you approve it as a whole ownership condominium, you guys are viewing that in your mind as this is Ray's house. When Ray comes in and buys unit 12, that's Ray's house. When Cousin Randall comes in and buys unit 11, that's Cousin Randall's house. And it's just like my house living next door to Benita, even though it's that. And I think in your mind, when you approve that like that, and we say whole ownership, that we just assume that whole ownership means I'm going to live there. Okay, all it means is that it's got
sure,
one
but now
owner.
He has the opportunity to reconfigure his ownership
and
plan.
Because it was a resort, and he said these old buildings are not any good, we're going to knock them all down, this is how we're going to build them, their contention will be, you did not limit us, other than the fact that it's one owner per unit, you did not limit us on the fact that owner could not use this for something else. And that's the way this property's always been used. I'll reference you back to the statement made by Mr. Paulson when we were talking about the property on Fall Creek. we changed that property to that use, and nothing else has changed, so if they want to use it for that use, that's what it's good for. You know, basically, he said, you know, we approved this for a condominium project. We can't deny it for a condominium project now because, you know, that's what the use was changed to, even though they hadn't built it yet. That's what it was approved for. Well, that was approved for a resort, or it was grandfathered in as a resort, whatever the case might be. They changed the way the buildings were structured. You said one owner per unit, but that's all the stipulations we put on it. Now, we can push that any way you want to push it.
So he's basically asking for multiple owners per unit, and
he's already using it like the vertical resort.
Yeah.
Now, whether we like that or don't like that, or we feel like that's violating what we approved, that's a different course of action that we would need to take and everything. But what he's saying is, now, you told me I could have one owner per unit.
Right, but that's why he's asking for a change.
More than
that.
Okay, so they're getting 4 weeks, but they're not getting 4 weeks together. So you're giving them 1 week during the season, and
right.
But they're going to have assigned weeks. So if they get week 2 and week 12 and week 22,
supposedly it'll be a pool where they can talk to each other. Okay. And if I can't be there that week, my week, can I trade you for that week? So.
Okay, so they're cool just between the units there.
The owners, right. Just the owners there, right.
Okay.
Now, you were asking about people running it. Are you referring to like a management company running the nightly rental?
We've always taken the position in the past that you didn't have a right to have nightly rental unless we approved it.
That's correct. When we've approved new projects, we've all, and again, I'll take you down to Branson Canyon. They gave us a percentage of that would be a nightly rentals. They set up an office there, and as people pull their units out of the nightly rental program to live their whole ownership, single family, year round, then they would change the taxes and they would notify and everything.
And if we approved it, you had to have somebody in charge of doing the rent. You couldn't just leave 13 like people
to it. No, we have a management company in place now that I've already hired to do that. Sunset Nightly Rental, that's what they do for a living.
But that's not what you asked us a while ago. You asked us, you told us a while ago that those 13 people could have a right to rent theirs anytime they wanted to.
Right.
And that's not what we've approved in the past.
We don't have to approve that. We could approve the fractional ownership, but also in the motion have that there's no nightly rental.
I realize
that. It could be approved
that
way.
I realize that.
In the discussion here.
I realize that.
I think whatever we do, I'm going to throw out some comments just for food for thought. Whatever we do needs to be defensible in court. We are getting into schematics. We're talking about definitions of things, what's fractional, what's weekly, what's monthly, what's nightly. Unless we have specified in our code the definitions of these and we've made regulations based on those definitions, whatever our decision is today needs to be defensible in court, is my bottom line. Mm-hmm. And I do think single-family residents that are turned into nightly rentals are a little bit different in this, in such that if I'm living in a single-family residential home tract-type area and there's a nightly rental going on there, then you have partying and a lot of people coming and going and multiple parties. So I think in a typical or common residential neighborhood, that would be an issue with most or some people. In regards to the other gentleman here in his condo, if it was whole ownership and now it may or may not change to fractional ownership of one type or another, that's a completely different lifestyle than, but is it our job as a board? I feel like every time one of these comes to us, I understand that some of us have some strong feelings about this issue, but do we have strong language in our code that directs us in a way that's on a consistent basis, we can make good decisions. And my fear is that at this point in time, our code doesn't allow us to do that.
And basically, we're dealing with land use.
Right.
Fundamentally.
Right.
Sounds like I've opened a can of worms here.
Well, it is. It is.
Well, and we've addressed this issue as far as single-family homes. Mm-hmm. We added a section this year in our code book, as you recall, that deals mostly with that, coming as a special use permit and everything like that. Not that it couldn't apply in this in this circumstance, but as Mr. Preston states, this is an area that's kind of iffy. And if we've been very diligent and address these kind of issues from the onset, then we've got some legal standing. But it could be iffy.
Madam Chairman?
Mm-hmm.
So does this overrule covenants and restrictions that are filed and recorded?
Covenants and restrictions are the responsibility of the homeowners association or the unit that files them. Okay. And there's always in covenants and restrictions provisions for making changes to that. What you will find in most covenants and restrictions is that the developer is in control of the project until a certain percentage has been sold or transferred, or until a certain date, or whenever he chooses to turn that over, because he is the majority owner. And sometimes they put provisions in there for people who have purchased, and there may be something in state statutes for people who have purchased. If you purchase this way, you have to work with that person who's already purchased under the old covenants. Dan's done a little more study on this than I have. But in most of these cases, the homeowners association, condominium association, has not become active yet. There's not even enough people in there to fund.
So these have not been recorded. So
no, they've been recorded. They had to be recorded before their plat was recorded the building. So they're there, but it's a civil issue where if this gentleman, whoever's in the bank, says we're going to change this and he doesn't like it, and they come here and get an okay, while we can okay it, he can still go into civil court with his covenants and say, this is what my covenant said, and get a ruling from a judge, either yay or nay.
Even though CC&Rs are recorded at the county doesn't have the authority to enforce those.
The county does not enforce those. Does not take into consideration those documents when making decisions.
Right.
We just make sure that we do not violate what we have as our statutes and everything like that.
CC&Rs are as strong as the homeowners association is active.
And in this situation, it's a little anemic.
Yeah, we got one order.
No. Okay, Mr. Blackwell, you have a question.
One unit you've sold?
One.
Okay, we'll need to have a letter from that
owner. Certainly.
For next week.
I got no
stating
problem
with that. He has no problem with it going
through. Notarized and all that, probably. Probably notarized and.
Wouldn't hurt.
I was advised by my attorney who wrote up our CC&Rs that we definitely needed his approval to go forward with this.
Yeah, because that gets into the intent with which somebody sells and somebody buys property, and I have problems with that when that changes in the middle of the street.
And can I just mention something? You know, if you're here next week for the vote, whether this is approved or not, doesn't mean if the bank brings in your project, it would be approved.
Yeah.
So,
my thinking is, though,
that you're out of concern.
Yeah.
Right.
Sure.
That's understandable.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take the privilege of closing the public hearing then on this project, and next Monday night we will be making decisions on the two projects that we've heard tonight. Well, we haven't heard the second one. We're going to hear tonight. Okay, the Rogers Project, Gene Rogers Farms.
Okay, this is the Taney County Planning Commission staff report for Gene Rogers Farm, dated December 14, 2009, case number 09-32. This is the public hearing for Gene Rogers Farm, located at 7415 State Highway 125 in Protem, Missouri, in the Big Creek Township, Section 9, Township 21, Range 17. The applicant, Eugene Rogers, requests approval to sell feed out of a trailer on his property. History is that it was approved for concept on November 16, 2009. A general description, the subject property consists of 80 acres and is located off of U.S. Highway 125. The adjoining properties to the development consist of agriculture. Review, the proposed site consists of agricultural land with a residence and one barn. The property is accessed from State Highway 125 with about a quarter mile driveway. The applicant also owns 80 acres adjoining this tract. If the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply and must be revised by the Taney County Planning Commission. Number one, compliance with provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. In this particular project, no water, no electricity, or no sewer will be needed on the site at this time. Number three, special use permit requirements will apply. This is a special use request. And number four, one storage trailer will be on site. Number five, the decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. As we take you out to Pro Tem, I know most of you don't get out there. This would be the property. If you zoom in, it looks like this. this is the driveway, and of course, this is the deal. The request before you is by Mr. Rogers that even when humans drive from here, it's a long way to get food
and
everything. So he wants to place on his property right now a semi trailer or possibly two to sell where he can get some feed in truckloads out here to sell to the people in the area for feeding the livestock. At this particular time, he doesn't have an interest in building another building or anything like that. In the future, he may. If that being the case, he might come back and see me. This is the property. We did stand out here and film. And I don't remember a car passing us. One pass us?
Yes.
And we had one car pass us, and we were out there about probably 15
How
minutes.
How fast
was it? Didn't scare me. So anyway, that's kind of the property. And, you know, like I say, out in this area, there's a lot of places like this out there. And we have a film for you. It's beautiful out there, really.
I'm looking forward to it.
I think so. Again, we're not going to drive all over the property, but here we go. And I'll take you around and let you see. What's this? Here comes the car. Is that the car? But it's kind of sparsely populated out in this area. And it is a long way to anything. And as far as Mr. Rogers can get to, as far as feed and stuff like that, I don't know how close anything like that is. Hence his request. But that was it.
Why are we hearing this?
Because he's going to retail. So it's a business. It's a commercial. Now, I did talk with Bob Paulson a little while. He said, depending on some case law and stuff like that, and the amount of volume that he does, it may be considered agricultural. He said, but because he is going to retail it and everything like that. This is basically a store. He's making a store out here. He's just not a conventional store. He will have customers, and it's a business on an agricultural track. So we're asking basically for a special use permit. It would not quite be a home occupation because we're not going to use the home. Just asking to set a semi-trailer out here to use as a warehouse to sell feed out.
Well, he's just asking for it as long as he operates it.
It's just for him, just for that site. But he will sell to Mr. Edwards if he comes out to buy feed from him.
Well, and he might have a hot customer here. Well, so, Mr. Rogers, why don't you come forward? Okay, because this is kind of fun.
Okay.
Doesn't feel like it, does it?
Eugene Rogers, Pro Tem.
Okay.
My main concern on this, and the reason I came up with this idea, is it takes me 25 to 50 miles to get to any kind of a facility to buy feed to feed my cattle. Uh-huh. And I have several head of cattle down there, and I have several neighbors down there that also are driving the same amount of mileage every time they go by feed. And it's kind of hard a lot of times to break away and go during business hours if you're working people. Some of the people are working people, and they can't get away to go by during the business hours that those other people have because it takes 45 minutes to an hour to drive to a feed facility somewhere. You know, in the afternoon, take off work early or whatever. Okay, I'm feeding cattle on my property. I'm going to bring this feed in on a trailer. This feed will be on a trailer. It will be totally mobile. I'm not attaching it to anything at all. And I thought as a convenience, there's also other people in that country down there that would benefit from bringing feed in that they could benefit where they don't have to drive 50 miles to go get their feed. And when I get off work in the afternoon, 3:30, I'm at home. If they want to come, they can buy feed in the afternoon or on a weekend.
How many years do you intend to do this?
Probably the rest of my life.
Okay.
I'm looking probably, you know, I mean, I'm 60 years old right now. And it could be a supplemental income, you know, for several years to come.
Sure. Well, and a great service to the community. Why isn't this a special use permit?
It is a special use
permit. Okay.
We did have discussed with Mr. Rogers that in the event that business got good,
yes,
and he wanted to build a building and turn it into a regular, that he would come
then
back and see.
Come back
yes,
to us.
Okay. Yes.
So this is a special use. Mm-hmm. We can't make it a home occupation because it's not going to be in the home.
No.
And everything, but
no,
but
it is not.
But you can do it under special use, make it particular to him. It doesn't make the property commercially compatible, you know, to be used as commercial compatibility for anybody else or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Just a special use.
We don't have to worry about water and sewer
like that. And of course, you have the right to put whatever stipulations if you want him to buffer or anything like that.
But traffic might be a problem.
Only if you have a flat tire and are needing help.
This will be located a quarter of a mile off the state highway.
You'll set it actually back close
yes,
to your barn.
Yes, it will be. It will be. It will be back by the barn. If you can see where the
there's a corner up there, but it'll be back.
Yeah, right there. It will be right. It will be located.
No,
it won't be up there. Okay.
No, it will not. It will be back at my home, just in front of that barn back there, which is a quarter of a mile off the main highway. And the closest neighbor I have is probably between a half and three quarters of a mile. So I'm not opposed to this at all. Uh-huh.
But you might want to check your speedometer based on what you said
about
going to your house to Terry's or going over to Donnelly's.
I have.
You might want to check that speedometer.
I've checked it. Do you think it's farther than that? Yeah.
But I'm not opposed to it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this sounds like a fairly easy kind of issue to deal with, and we will see you next Monday.
Okay.
And then we'll vote on it at that particular time.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Okay, Mr. Coxey, let's move on to any permit renewal
requests. No permit renewals.
Then let's move on to old and new business.
Old and new business. I need to talk to you about several issues. Actually, I have five. I'm sorry, I told you four. First of all, as you know, the sewer project's coming in down off of White Highway. And just as happened in Bee Creek, everybody's now realizing that they can split their property up as soon as they get off the septic and everything. The first request I've had is from the Honeymoon Hotel that's down there. Honeymoon Hotel's on a little over 3 acres, and there's a couple of mobile homes that exist there with it. I talked to the gentleman for quite a while about splitting that up. I asked him about whether or not it was in a subdivision. He was pretty sure it wasn't. I talked to Eddie Wolf this morning, and as it turns out, there evidently was a subdivision platted down in there in the 40s or 30s or somewhere down there, down the line like that. That being the case, our code book says you have to hear this project. My question is, do you want to hear that, or if it meets requirements for current code, do you want me just to go ahead and approve a plat like that administratively? It's totally up to you guys. We'll make sure there's plenty of parking and everything like that. And everything, and what I've seen, there is plenty of room.
Did the gentleman speak about what the use for that building was going to be?
He bought the Honeymoon Hotel, and his intention was to turn it back into a single-family residence. He has done a little bit of work on it. It's currently for sale for $480,000, I think is what he has, because he's putting a roof on everything. If he does sell it, he will sell it to be used as a bed and breakfast, which is the current use of that.
Okay.
That being the case, I told him the lion's share of the property required for that Honeymoon Hotel will be committed to that because there's a certain amount of parking required and everything like that. So that's kind of where that's at. But
do you have a map of that at all? Okay, there's State Highway 5, there it is, okay. And so the lot splits come where?
Go ahead, give him just a second to bring that up.
It's a big structure, it looks like.
His intention was, when he bought that, to turn it into an individual mansion. This is the Honeymoon Hotel. There's a platted road right in here, and of course there's a platted road here, and I talked to him about having to give us road easement and size of the road and things like that. What he's actually wanting to do is split right in here across there, and I believe right across here, if I'm not mistaken, is what he's wanting to do. To split that off. Now, this is a storage building garage, as is this also, and the well house out
here. It's right down across from Empire Park.
But this is the old restaurant. And of course, this gazebo and everything down here is gone, and this, all of this right here belongs to Empire Electric. It is not part of the Honeymoon Hotel.
Oh, wow.
They do have easements and everything going up here, but their lot actually starts back here. So he's looking just to split that off into what would be an 8,000 square foot lot for this mobile home. I believe there was another mobile home sitting right here, and they may have already taken it out. It was in pretty bad shape. And then he's wanting to create two lots here and here. And then put this being
so he's wanting to sell those lots, but they already have properties on them?
I didn't catch the last part.
They already have mobile homes on
this
them?
This one does have a mobile home. I was thinking there was another one out there, but they may have removed it already.
I don't see any reason why we would necessarily have to do that.
That's still a rest home.
I'm just trying to...
Yeah, it was a rest home, yes, sir. It was. Of course, it's been there since 1903 or something like that. I was in it about a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago now. I've been eating in there. It had really gone into, say, disrepair. This individual did buy it at a very good price, had new roofs put on it, something like that. And he will continue to fix things up on it or sell it. But he does have it listed as a bed and breakfast, and that was
how many acres is it?
There's 3 point. Dan, would you click on that and tell it give you property dimensions, please, sir?
Oh, I should say that was long there.
2.71, I'm sorry. 2.71 acres. And the hotel itself is going to probably require... We probably need to keep it at 2 acres because it's not going to be on septic anymore. I have to remember that too. But it is. We will have to see it as a business, and there's some outbuildings and stuff here to go with it. So
what about sewer to the two new?
Everything will be on the. The sewer project that's going on now down on White Highway. I can't remember what
they're
doing. Yeah, it does. And everything. So that, and they're within 6 months of that being operational. And the sewer district code book states that if they're within 6 months, that they can approve them.
I would say
two lots.
Actually, let it be three because you'll have the leftover for the honeymoon hotel. And he's wanting to create just the bare minimum, two 8,000 square foot lots up here, and then the rest of the property go to the honeymoon hotel. So it will end up about two.
I can't see any reason why you can't handle that administratively in the office.
Okay.
Any other concerns about that? Okay, let's move on then to the Kanakuk Cemetery.
Kanakuk has contacted my office asking about making a cemetery. I referred them to Bob Paulson, who, you know, in the last couple of years, we've had a couple of requests as far as cemeteries. We had the emergency cemetery that we had to do kind of after the fact. But we had another individual in probably 3 years ago to set up a family cemetery. As it turns out, there's about 10 to 12 people already buried out there from years
horse,
gone by.
Many dogs.
They could be people, or I don't know who. And Mr. Bonner, you're right, you might have more than that.
Sure.
What they're trying to do is make this a
three people
recognized cemetery so that some additional family members can be buried out there in the future.
You said 12 people buried?
Well, no,
three.
Eddie Wolf told me there was 10 to
that's
12 headstones out there.
Why not?
Horses and dogs.
Right.
Okay, but I didn't know that. But there are
three humans
buried out there now and everything. So what they're trying to do is set this up in accordance with state statute and create the easement road back there to this and everything. And I believe the state requires no more than an acre. If I'm not mistaken, that's as large as they'll make it for a private family cemetery and everything. But anyway, they've been working with Bob on that. My question is this. Do you want him to come in and see you since it's already really a cemetery now? Do you just want to get it set up correctly?
I would like to see where it is in relationship to other residential, but that doesn't mean I want you to hear it. You know, is there, so it's way far away?
Do you know where it is on their property, Mr. Brown?
Yeah, it's in the middle. Nobody can get to it. It's so far away from everybody else. The closest neighboring property, Joey, would probably be Kyle Andrews' place up there, which is...
Yes, there's Jim Dillon's there. Okay.
Yeah.
And let's bring that up on the larger.
You got a marker?
And I don't. It doesn't matter to me either way. If y'all want to hear this, just for historical value, that's fine. They just asked me today, since it was already being used as a cemetery, and they were trying to bring it into state statute and everything, if they need to bring it before you, yeah, they could bring either. But I did tell them that it would have to be platted, so they'll have to plat this and plat the road easement, the access to it and everything like that. And they said, well, does the board need to hear it? And I said, what's that?
Right there is where they're talking about it.
Well, it's close to the road.
Yeah.
That's their office building right now?
They own,
yeah, okay,
they own all that, all that property.
Everything in yellow is theirs.
Yeah. And see, that's a yellow outline, too. They own all that. So,
I would say because of the state statutes and the controls that are imposed by the state, that we really don't have any reason.
They will file a plat with us, yeah, and we'll make sure. Of course, it will be a lot that's smaller because the state will only allow it to be a maximum
out of our jurisdiction.
The closest home is right there. Not used all.
So,
okay.
We will move on with that. I'll call
okay.
You
Branson Underground.
Branson Underground has contacted me several times. Branson Underground is now wanting to come above ground. And
can we change their name? Or?
No.
Coming out the party.
They've got a couple different projects going on. They want to tear out some parking lot there. They're on a property that was owned by Table Rock Asphalt, I guess. And I cannot find any records anywhere that this project ever came through and got an okay to even be a business owner. Now, Bonita seems to remember, she and John seemed like they remember some discussions about it. They didn't know for sure if it actually come through before the board or not. I didn't know if any of you had any recollection.
There was the other underground development that came through, but I don't think that's Branson Underground.
I think that property was originally owned by John Channing, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Maybe.
My history is very limited here.
Table Rock Asphalt had a so many year lease on it. And then just before he passed away, I think he sold it to Table Rock.
Thank you, right.
And
both sides of the road.
I know that as a quarry, we don't have any jurisdiction. That's all state, and we don't do anything with it. Somehow Branson, or whatever it's called, I don't know that it's called Branson Underground, but they have been working in there, and they contacted me a couple times about, we're going to build in these tunnels, and I'm thinking, you know, I can't see anything. But now they're wanting to come out on top and put in a pad and put in a lot of backup generators that would only run during times of power outages to supply.
Okay, so it's not buildings for...
But they have another project where they actually want to build a building.
Okay. That's got to come to...
They're also going to build a substation out there, too, I think.
Yes.
Okay.
So,
and the function of the building is...
I don't know that... it's hard to pin these people down.
Well, Eddie, I don't remember too much about it, but sometime back, they came to the commission when they started to establish that underground.
And that's what I think John and Bonita remembered happening also.
That's cool.
We just don't have any records of it, so I told them, I said, I don't know what's approved.
Is that right?
No.
They came before us, and...
if I knew what year... I don't even remember what year it
was. Is it possible, Ray, that they came before you and y'all talked a little bit and say you don't, just like as we've done tonight, where we decided to handle some of these things, so there's not really any record or decision or anything like that that would exist?
That's long, I forgot, but I know we gave them approval to go ahead with that underground storage when they started.
But that was, there was another project out on 248.
That's Bernie Behrman.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we found that one.
Okay.
Maybe I'm mixed up with
that one.
We did find that
remember,
one.
Yeah.
Okay, I may be mixed
but
up
but I think Branson Underground has been around for so long that it probably precedes planning and zoning.
So I guess my question is this, twofold. The one project they want to put in backup generators, I don't know how many. I know their electricity usage is tremendous. So my guess would be...
They're building their own.
They're four or five large ones.
Well, the way I understand it is they're going to have their own transmission lines built into that property.
Do you want to hear what they have to say?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I'll tell them.
Just for curiosity purposes.
I
still am not clear what the building function is.
I'm not sure either yet. I got the impression it might be an office building. They have kind of, they called me and asked me. I said, I think that's going to have to go before my board. They did contact one of the commissioners who contacted us and said, why does this need to go before the board and everything? They're just going to be doing this. I said, well, what about this over here about this building? He said, we're not going to talk about that right now. So,
okay, well, when the timing is right.
So even for the backup generators, do you want to hear that? I mean, my concern was when I first heard it that these were going to be out there running, but if it's just backup, I don't know how often they run. I don't know how much noise they create. It is kind of out there, if I've got the right place, kind of an isolated place.
I'm not so concerned about the backup generators, but I do become concerned when they're doing building.
If we're going to build it out there, I think we ought to have a drawing and hear it.
You want to hear it all?
We're going to develop it, yeah.
The
generator and underground started, that was used for storage of timber rock asphalt.
Yes, it was. And as they cleared those tunnels out, they went in and started taking those tunnels, and they built in
there.
That's
where they got the rock from, was in
right
over there. But it was
that is correct.
Before Branson Underground started using it, before it came Branson Underground, mm-hmm. it was timber rock asphalt
yes,
storage and their mechanic mm-hmm. shop and stuff, okay. Which now then they've moved that underneath the ground on the other side of the road, is where they do
yeah.
mechanic work and...
About 6 or 8 months ago, I met on site with the owners prior to one of the owners passing recently, and they were in negotiations with a company out of Joplin to move a large operation here that would supply about 100 year-round high-end jobs to the area. So if something like if that continues to come forward, that's definitely something that we would be making.
Yeah, I don't think we have any problem approving it or anything like that, but. I just don't have anything in place to say,
yeah.
here's what's allowed.
Yeah.
So that my question is, you know, do you want to hear
there
or not?
There is a campground down Buena Vista.
There is, yes, sir. That campground
the only
USA.
Thing is how big the generators are, what the decibel level of those would be, because they will have to be tested every so many hours to make sure
yeah,
that they're operational.
I was told by an individual sometimes as often as once a week or once a month. That
and
they would all need to spin up to full speed.
Like sometimes in peak areas of the summertime, they will also, to keep the peak power down off the transmission line grid, they might make them run them for 2 hours a day. For
that's true.
And depending on size, I heard they can be quite loud, even muffled. So so I will contact everybody tomorrow and say that you would like to at least have them come in here and present it to you. And then if you want to hear full-blown public hearing and everything like that, then you can make that call.
It's going to be a good deal.
Well, especially if there is significant economic impact.
There's going to be significant economic impact. It's going to put jobs, I'll just tell you.
But just like anything else.
What do you know?
What do I know? I know it's going to produce several jobs for the community.
Okay. See, if that develops like Grishmer has in Springfield, that would be a big operation.
Sure. Sure. And I don't think we have any plans to deny anything like that or anything like that. I'm just saying I don't have any approval to work off of, so
right.
I don't know.
Okay.
And my thinking was they probably should.
Okay, let's move on to the airpark, the famous Cedar Creek Airpark.
Cedar Creek Airpark has began putting in the road for the minor sub. The majority section of that with the new road that you cut in and everything is probably in place now with asphalt, everything like that. Several things going on.
Not with asphalt, Eddie. Not asphalt, with
the gravel and ditches and everything like that. Randy's been out there several times. Randy and I have been out there. Frank's been out. Everybody's been out. So we're still waiting on the final end of that road to be done. I believe she is going to come back with a replat of the minor sub and actually make that 70-foot road a little bit wider so that she can include the existing gravel driveway as part of the road, and it cuts down on what she has to build and everything like that. When she was in last Tuesday, she told us that she thought she would have it all done within 2 weeks. The surveyor had to come back out and set corner pins. He also had to set center line for the road and a few things like that so we can determine that everything's where it needs to be. She is also your only concept next week, and your only public hearing for the month of January. We sat with her a little over 2 hours on Tuesday. and showed her what we were seeing and all the problems that, that we saw on the way things have been sold and platted, and showed her how her plats and everything were not matching up to the roads and different things like that, and how some properties were being landlocked and some lots being created that did not work and everything like that. We encouraged her to find a way to bring the majority of everything that she could into compliance by taking some of her 1-acre lots and combining those and making 2-acre lots, and then later on giving those people the option to split those back out if she gets her sewer system in as required, things like that. And the lots that she could not bring into compliance by either combining or replatting in some way, that she tried to purchase those back to bring the majority of the project into compliance so that she could move forward and get her stop work order lifted. She will be in. She will be asking for, several things. She will bring some plats in to you, everything like that. The diagrams that you have don't quite match up with what the assessor has right now. She's aware of that. She did go down and get that and is starting through there. We did send her over to the sewer district. John Soutis spent probably an hour or so with her, has instructed her as to what the process is for with DNR and everything like that to get treatment plants for the less than 2-acre lots. Just a whole lot of things like that. We talked to her about phasing and some different things. She may be in a situation to where with this road, depending on what she does as far as compliance is concerned, she may have where she could bring you a phase one and a phase two with just a very minimal amount of work to have that plat recorded. I suggested to her that she go ahead and plat her roads in, because there's some really screwy looking roads on this, the way things are platted right now. I did tell her that would limit her as far as her flexibility to change lots and everything once that happens, but she thought that might be a good idea. So she's working on some documentation to bring in to you and everything like that. I told her that the first thing out of you guys' mouth would be, what are you going to do to bring this into compliance so that we can lift the stop work order so that you can proceed on. So we will supply you with documentation, as far as big maps and everything, so you see how everything is and how she's wanting to do that, and you can go on from there. She has
and who will be representing?
She has Harry Styron down as her representative, and I got the impression that he probably would be here to do that. However, if she could get enough of it worked out, she wanted to do it herself, because she just doesn't want to have to pay for a representative to do that. We will work with her as much as we can, as much as we would anybody. However, we make sure now that everything is as it should be exactly.
Okay.
She has made a request to us as she bonded the road, and she's got more than half of that in, to release some of the bond money back to her that she has so that she can pay her contractor. And that is something that is allowed in our code book. However, her project is under a stop work order right now, and we will make sure that we retain enough money to finish out what needs to be finished. Personally, I don't have any reason to say no, you cannot have a portion of this money back. She's also requested her land grading bond back. I do have a little bit of a problem with that, because the whole project is under a stop work order, and I don't feel like until it's in compliance that we should give that land grading bond back before this portion of the road. I think that's a legitimate request and something that we could honor, to help her out and let her contractor work in good faith with her. I don't think it would hurt the county at all. We discussed this with Frank and everything, and we feel like we had enough money there, and we bonded 120% to have Frank's group come in and put a road in if they had to. So we've explained to her that this has to go in just like this. Your whole project kind of hinges on this being done correctly. So it appears that she is trying to do things correctly, we'll just have to see how that plays out.
And you had a fifth project?
I do. But my question is, are you okay with...
Well, with the fourth one,
If she's the only one that's coming forward that will take up our next two meetings, is that correct? You stated that?
Yes, sir.
Based on the plat that I saw today, she's far from even being ready to present anything for us that would be viable to move forward with or make decisions on.
Okay.
My request would be that until you yourself are pleased with the plat, I wouldn't bring it before the board, and this being the holiday seasons, with that being the only customer.
Okay. I would take you to this direction. At concept, mm-hmm. we have the option to push her off 120 days. I think you still bring her through for concept because she's made that application. I don't know.
If she brings that plat to concept, then we will laugh at it.
I would agree with you, and I don't think she has any intention, although she did. That particular one is from the assessor's office, and that's not the plat that she's going to present you. She has her drawing that I believe is in your packet. But I think procedurally our process would be to hear her at concept. You've got to meet next week anyway because you've got to vote. You hear at concept, and then at concept you could say, okay, look, here's what we want from you. We don't feel like you can have it done for January's meeting. We will see you in March. And I think that's a decision that you guys can make. But at concept, she doesn't really have to present everything like that.
But Eddie, I know we can't tell her who to use, but
we've encouraged her.
Why don't she get somebody to
She is in agreement with that. She is in agreement with that. We strongly recommended two of our favorite sons. We recommend to her Wolf Servain. And told her she could take them in whatever order she wanted. We also recommended Doug Fabian and Great River Engineering out of Springfield if she wanted to go back up to there.
You didn't ask them to see Aegis?
Yeah. But we told her they were
Aegis is busy right now and everything. So, and we strongly recommended that she get somebody that was very, very, very familiar with Taney County, and not only Taney County, with the planning department. I said, because there's some of the surveyors here that you go to and they'll say, this may look like this will work, but they will not approve it. And I said, they'll tell you.
If that happens.
So it's a matter of money, whether they share information or not, I don't know. But anyway, that's where we stand on that. She will be before you. But I would like your thoughts real quick, if you don't mind, on the request that I have before me for reduction in the road bond. My inclination, of course, is to... she's asking for $10,000 back on a $34,000 bond.
Be wiser use of the taxpayer.
Which would leave us $24,000 to finish out that loan.
What's your recommendation on that?
She's met the requirements that we put in front of her. If it's something that you've done in other cases, she's met the requirements.
Yes. If it wasn't for the stop work order, I would have already done this.
Right.
But that's why I'm bringing this before you, because we do have a stop work order.
And the stop work order was on part of the project.
The stop work order is on the entire project.
Oh, okay.
When we allowed the minor sub, a letter was sent along saying this minor sub is being permitted under your stop work order with the hope of bringing the project into compliance and taking this as a first step to bring the project into compliance. Only the work necessary to complete the requirements for the minor sub were allowed.
Mr. Bronner has raised an interesting question, and that is, if we choose not to move forward with the air park, can we take the usual public hearing and adaptation of the code issues, or do we devote January and February to the Aegis project? February is scheduled as the amendments and...
Is that too quick?
No, I think Aegis, this thing with Aegis needs to be part of your two February meetings. I think that, and I've got some stuff for you tonight and just kind of...
But if you need to schedule more...
We will not do any county business as far as the air park or anybody, anything during the month of February. We've already told everybody.
So that would have to push it to March.
So she would, but I don't think that's an issue. You know, we've been trying for many, many months to get this in. and it's within our rights.
Till Ray gets back.
So
you have it all cleared up.
We'll save that for you.
And we try to stress to the airport that our goal is not to shut them down or to build a project for them. Our goal is to make sure that they're in compliance and that the people that are property owners out there are going to be able to use their property. Right. So that's where we're headed. And I would like to think that she understands now exactly what we mean and what we say. And I think I bored Benita to tears the other day because I kept going over the same thing over and over and over because I wanted her to know you don't sell without a plat, you don't get a plat until certain things are done and everything. So,
Eddie, has she said anything about putting electric in for?
For the minor sub, there's overhead electricity there.
Location, but then...
Right, and of course, they're going to drop overhead lines to those. Her intention, what she told Frank and I, was that she would go back as this develops out and then put everything back underground. As part of the infrastructure for the rest of it, yes, we would definitely want to make sure that we say, now in order to do this, you've got to have electricity to these lots. Right now, with 2 acres or more, they can be responsible for their own water, their own electricity, and their own sewer. But that is something we can specify that you need to run electricity along the front of here. That's your responsibility, and you can charge it off in the price of the lots or whatever.
Maybe she's going to do solar.
Let's move on, because I think we'll be
we've got one
raising some of these issues.
But I think it's best if we go ahead and hear a concept and then tell her, here's what we want. We'll see you back in March if that's the way you want to handle it. Spent a lot of time on... East's code book, which y'all had that, Board of Adjustment has it now, and everything like that. Dan came to me the other day, and Mr. Pennell has also come to us and said, can y'all flesh out the residential and the PUDs? And so we kind of looked at it a little bit. I've got 8 or 9 different code books from different places on my desk looking at different things. But Dan said, what if we just made a spreadsheet and then kind of let them go through and mark what they think? And I mentioned the Dan at the back of the Aegis code book, there's a 4-page spreadsheet if you haven't seen that. So what I've done tonight, just to kind of help you, to see do we even need all these different designations, I've just put together a quick spreadsheet for agricultural, and it says, it deals with lot size and stuff like that. And you can just pencil in whatever's pertinent to you, or maybe you've already done something, maybe y'all have decided how y'all want to go and attack this or anything like that. But from our point of view, I think we need to say, and what he's just looking for, they're looking for a definition from us so they can go out and say, here's the book, look at this piece of property and say, that fits right here. I color that red. Okay? This one, I color yellow. And they're just going to draw a map of what the county is right now.
Are they going to deal with high-rise condominiums?
All they're going to do is draw a map of what the county is right now. We have to define it.
Okay.
By these different districts, okay? So we have to decide what makes a district different. Okay. They've indicated to us two agricultural districts. Do we need 2 agricultural districts? What makes them different? Is size alone enough to make them different? Or do we say if you are over a certain size, you can have as many cows, horses, pigs, whatever you want out here, but if you're under this size, you can't? So... I put my thoughts together, a little bit of Dan's thoughts on here. I'd like to give you the spreadsheet and then have you just kind of, you don't have to do it tonight, but you can go through and check and say, I don't see any difference between any of these. Or you can say, here's what I see as a difference. There's some blank lines in here, and you write in there, and we put them back together and say, here's what we think. Yes, we need these two, but no, we don't need these two. And it did the same thing with residential. So anyway, I'm going to hand you these. Let you look at them real quick. If you don't want to go that way, that's fine and dandy. If y'all want to set up a committee, 3 or 4 of these people to kind of look at things, that's fine. We just got to find a way to move forward with this. Okay. And this will basically just say, these are the districts. And then we can flesh them out somewhat with what you've got there. And I took a lot of this off of Aegis's spreadsheet in the back, what as far as permitted uses. And you may look at some of these, and what they did is they had permitted uses and conditional uses. This would always be allowed as permitted use in this district, But conditionally, this one could be there based on some other criteria. So you may look at something and say, you know, you may put a P and a U in there, or you may not find any differences. You may look at it and say, I don't think a residential farm should have 20 cows when it's only got 5 acres. You know, you may want to limit some things like that. But you may have your own ideas. But anyway, that's what I brought for you tonight. And
I don't see how we can get into that issue.
But what's going to have to happen is we've got to define the districts and what makes them different. And then what kind of rules and regulations go into those districts. So,
would it be a good idea to form a subcommittee? Joe Tarvin with Aegis.
Would it be a helpful, maybe is a good word, to form a subcommittee and have some work sessions and discuss it together and try to come up with definitions? And then come back to the body to make a presentation.
And we mentioned that to you guys about picking maybe two or three of you or however many you feel, and we probably can grab one off of the BOA if you'd like to do something like that. Or maybe you just don't want to do it at all. You just say, y'all go handle it and bring us something to review. And that's a possibility too. I don't want to usurp any authority.
Give us a longer range view of what happens. So we do agricultural and residential
and there's some more
according to this
here.
Kind of thing.
Commercial and PUD. And
when we left another meeting, you were raising questions about public meetings and all that kind of stuff. So where are we going to be with this project in June?
We don't move, we're going to be
right
here.
That's a good question. Well, what we had talked about with the commission, first of all, I'm Larry Gregory with Aegis. We had talked to them about doing public meetings in each township, uh-huh. I guess it was, and just do one at a time in each one rather than have group meetings where, you know, 1,000 people might show up and bombard us with questions. What we would present at that point is an ordinance that has been not adopted but approved for public release. And we would have, based on that document, we would have prepared a zoning map where we take, like Mr. Cox was saying, the uses that are there now and fit those into the zoning designations. We wouldn't try to tell people, it said in the future land use plan, this is a zoning map based on current uses, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So where we are in June...
That was an arbitrary...
I know, but I'm just for reference, I think we should be well underway in our public meetings by then. You know, if we can get stuff worked out in February, it sounds like you're wanting to have a couple of meetings then. That would give us time to get revisions made to this document and finish our maps.
Real quick, this is viewed by the commission, and I think we would all be in agreement that. Right now, we have what's called a Western District and an Eastern District, and I don't believe that is recognized by any legal authority as zoning districts. So what they're basically saying is, we're going to color what we've got, make it a zoning district. We've got a lot of definitions already. It doesn't mean our definitions in our book are going to change. They will some. But right now, if you're R1 residential, we require an 8,000 square foot lot if you're on centralized sewer, 2 acres if you're not. That won't change. It just would define this as R1. Now, we have some other designations in there. R2, which would be like duplexes. Now, we don't have a lot of definitions on duplexes. R3, which would be multifamily. We act like we've got a lot of definitions, but if you go into our code book, just as Mr. Preston has said, and it was a good example tonight, we don't have much. So those things will have to be fleshed out more. But we would go into Lakeshore Drive, and they could look at this house that's sitting there and say, this is R1. This is a single-family residential house. But Mr. Hover is R3, multifamily. What do we allow in R3? That's what we decide. Everything. But they're just going to draw, depending on what we decide, how many designations we need. You know, they're going to draw that, and then we're going to have to flesh out the differences between those so they'll know what's what.
So what I see as the task is, first of all, to determine what designations you want, then to define those designations in as much detail as you want to define them, and then once you've adopted that, then we can produce the map. But we first have to find out what your code is going to look like. You know, what designations are you going to have in your code, not just for residential and agricultural, but commercial, and the other designations. And then whatever number you decide you want, and then define that in enough detail that we can go out and look at something as it exists and say, that fits there. Now, you know, it may be that you want to go into more, you know, more detail. You may want to define some other things, like some of these issues that you've discussed tonight. You know, that allows you to have something that you've adopted that you can utilize to give the same treatment to everybody that comes in.
Well, I think we need to do something on nightly rental.
And that's in here. You know, and basically...
Because it looks to me like we're getting all over the lot.
Sure, exactly. But as I'm saying, right now we don't have that. But in this, if you go down through here, I've listed, just as they did. In agricultural, do you want to allow nightly rental? In residential agriculture, do you want to allow nightly rental? In residential, R1, do you want to allow nightly rental? In multifamily, do you want to? Under certain conditions, you may.
Okay. Eddie... I don't know what to do with this document. For instance, you know, here you have unlimited domesticated animals, and then you've got A1 that I assume is agricultural one.
Right.
And agricultural.
If you go back to the document that I gave you last month.
Yes.
It'll
okay. Possibly. So do you want me to check under which column?
Do you think they need to be different? Yes, ma'am. Or do... Let's just look at it and say, in agricultural one, which is your big full blown, could be just a crop, whatever. Do you care if the homes are site built, manufactured, you know, anything like that? If you don't care about either one of those, X them both. It's allowed in both. But if you don't want a duplex out there in the middle of that, then say, I don't think a duplex should belong there. Okay, On the AR, which would be the smaller hobby, what I'd call a hobby farm.
Yeah, right.
Do I care how many animals and what kind they have? And if he's got 5 acres, do I care if he has 100 head of cattle?
Better define what animals on it.
Well, you know, again, and I've got in there any kind of animals, farm animals, domesticated animals, pets,
lions,
what, you know. And I've left you places where you can say. Should these be here or should they not?
Okay, and then are you going to tally this data? So
that was my intention, to look and see what you think. And if both those columns come up exactly the same or substantially the same.
So you're asking us for instance, on Monday, next Monday, to return this document to you. Why not?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am, I am. If you think there's something that should be in here, write it in. Or if you think it's just not relevant, maybe you don't care. You know, we've got a lot of neighborhoods where they're strictly residential. They're 5-acre tracts. And right now, if I move into that neighborhood, I can keep as many cows and horses and chickens out there as I want, as long as the homeowner association doesn't take me for it. Do you care about that?
Okay, well, I'm about to say something that probably will alienate the entirety of the universe in this room tonight. I am not a land use specialist, even after thousands of years on planning and zoning. maybe especially because of thousands of years of planning and zoning. But, and I also don't believe in reinventing the wheel.
Sure.
So here we are starting from scratch,
but
with us as the corpus to do this.
The wheel off my Chevrolet will not fit on your Ford. We've got to make our own wheel.
Why?
Because wheels are not interchangeable.
Okay, but the point is, I can be much better reactionary than I can be, and I'm going to make a new word, pre-actionary.
Reactionary puts you in the situation you're in tonight.
No, it doesn't. No. I'm talking about the project, and I believe in the project, and you know, at long last, we're moving forward toward more traditional zoning. You know, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm just wondering about the best utilization of the resources of us as we go through this process and whether or not this kind of information is going to be of any help to you whatsoever. Because we could be all over the place in our reactions to this thing.
You could, and that's why I have gleaned from several different things, things that I think make these districts different. Now, whether you feel like we need those or not. Now, I can put something together, and I can bring it to you, and then you can tear it apart.
That's what you're saying.
But guys, I'm not going to think of the same things that you think of.
But maybe what we would think of would come out in the discussion in reaction.
It may. But I was thinking, as I have something like this in front of me, and I have time to read over it and think about it over a period of time, I can say, I should have stuck this in there. And if I hit you one night with it and you're trying to think of it then, you don't have the reaction time, I don't think, to think of what might possibly come up. Are you going to think about nightly rentals? You may.
Yes.
Right now you are.
One of my concerns is a time concern.
Sure. And if you want me just to flesh it all out and bring it to you and then say, yeah, we can live with this or no, we don't like this, whatever, I can do that.
Next week. That'd be a better start.
Work on it. What about next week? If you bring something and then we could discuss it too. Instead of us bringing these to you.
See, I can see merit personally in having a hobby farm and having different rules and regulations on it.
Oh, that's not an issue, but the point is I don't know that the process is that you're asking us to do is going to accomplish what you want us to do.
Would you like it to be done some way different then? I mean,
yeah, I'm saying you do it and let us pick it apart.
Okay, yeah. That's fine.
Eddie, I like the idea that I think you and Mr. Aegis have brought forward to us and the subcommittee, and I'd like to be involved, and probably you and then Aegis and maybe Bob Paulson or somebody like that, and then or anybody else that would hear that would entertain the thought of sitting and talking about this wonderful stuff for hours on end and move forward with a subcommittee and bring something more, a little more gathered together than this to the board.
Well, this was strictly looking for input.
Right. Understood. I understand the concept.
Not trying to influence your decisions or anything anyway, but knowing that the document that I gave you, just what you're asking me to do, I basically ripped it all apart because I knew it wouldn't work for Taney County. Mm-hmm. Just not the right wheel.
And let me just say one thing.
Yeah, we're the
and I understand.
You understand, because I just want them to know. We took the zoning ordinances from Greene County and Buchanan County, and as well as Taney County's development guidance code, and tried to merge those together. And so there are items in there that the farm animals was mentioned previously and again tonight, where I think it was Buchanan County actually outlined how many type of farm animal you can have per acre. That may not be applicable at all to Taney County. And that's the stuff where we need the input. And then the other items such as the nightly rentals, and I think timeshares was mentioned at one point, which would be basically the same thing probably.
Have you all been following the last 2 years of all the discussions in Greene County about land use?
Not in Greene County. I have a lot of stuff from Stone County. Well, and as a matter of fact, I've got their code book and was talking with Joy from Stone County, and she said, you really probably don't want to use that. So
they just almost voted out planning and zoning. Well, yeah. Why would you go there?
Well, because this is their new document.
This is what?
Their new document is what I'm using.
Well, Greene County is going to probably wind up with some new commissioners next election time over that land use deal.
I just didn't want to, guess what I'm saying is I wanted your input. Most of you have been here a lot longer than I have. And everything, but I can do it.
I keep looking at this, and I think a convent or monastery could go in either A1 or A4.
It doesn't have to, though. Maybe you don't feel like it fits there at all, so you don't say anything about it.
But I do.
Okay.
I think one thing we're looking for is some of the items would be a consensus that would lock it in, and then we would have some basis, some grounds to work on. Like an R1 would probably be pretty well defined the same by everybody, and we've got it with, we can move on to other areas that, you know, there's more question about. But by getting the input of everybody on the board, we have kind of a ground, a place to start. And certain things that would be locked and other things that we could work on.
But we can do that with a small subcommittee and bring you back something, and then y'all can say, I don't like this, or I do like this, or why didn't you add this? But what I'm going to tell you is, the more time you have to dwell on this, the more you'll see differences. And to hit you cold turkey with something, you're going to leave and say, oh man, I should have said something about that. And we may find it's too late until the next year, or do I have to make some changes or something. And that's what I'm trying to do, because I haven't hit half the things that you might find important. I just don't know. But here's what my thinking was. These are defined either by size, by permitted use, or by some other requirement, as far as utilities or something like that. That's what's going to define these differences here. If there's no difference in me having 5 acres and running a feedlot, or having 100 acres and running a feedlot, and that's the only criteria, then there's no use to having two categories. It's just ag. I was just looking for some input, but we can go another direction. So it's not an issue. If you have some particulars in certain areas that you're interested in, I would like to know that.
Well, what is the will of the board? I mean, do you want to go through
the... How do you mark these?
Well, you can just say, yes, I think that should be there. Or if you don't think it should be there, just leave it blank. Or you can say, this could, I mean, you can do a lot of different things, however you want. And that's something three-sided. You can say, I think this should always be permitted in this area, but under certain conditions, this should be permitted, which is the way they had it down. They had conditional and permitted uses. If you don't think it belongs there at all, don't mark it. But if you don't have to mark it anyway, because it doesn't sound like we're going to go that direction.
You're talking about like putting checks.
Well, don't. My question is, what do you all want to do? Do you want to go through the exercise of completing this?
I think Frank's got a better idea of having a subcommittee and let them go through it and then bring us back and we can tear it up or
that's fine. And we've mentioned that a couple times.
But talking about feedlots, you know, it ain't been...
I know, no capos.
4 or 5 years ago...
I know, no capos.
We had a big hot issue here and had a meeting over trying to regulate feedlots and chicken houses and that kind of thing, and man, it stirred up a hornet's nest.
But if I live out and have 3 acres and I buy myself 40 head of cattle to feed out, am I okay?
Well, personally, I'm in favor of having some regulations that way, but selling it in Tank County's...
I understand that. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
I keep losing my hair, and I don't want to lose it. Trying to sell land because it's a hot issue in Tate County.
So we're just looking for input so that we can get some definitions and then we would flesh it out. I would welcome a committee.
Who would like to serve on that committee?
I would love to.
I will.
One of my concerns, because Tate County is just like Ray's talking about, is unique. Take that however you like. And it's strong in agricultural and the rural atmosphere and feeling. I would
personally having lived all over the world and not being intimately familiar with the feelings of rural Eastern Taney County, I would like to have a strong representative that would understand that portion of the county and some of the things that we're talking about. I know what we're talking about, but I don't know the feeling of the people.
I think agriculture's got to be your most liberal, lenient category.
So you see what Webster County got into. They don't want any planning zoning, but yet they don't want a oil refinery in Webster County.
Well, you know,
and that's a lot of what goes on in Taney County.
Okay, well,
Jim Ray ought to be on the committee.
Yeah, not go to Florida.
Don't go to Florida.
You can't go to Florida.
I thought you all ought to have it done by the time I got back.
No wonder you want a committee.
Jim said, depending on the schedule, he can help us.
So when would you like to schedule a meeting?
I think Sean
I'm leaving for
you
couple
to serve
weeks.
On the committee.
Well, see, that's...
Because it is the holidays.
Yeah.
And everything.
Well, should we do them the regular meetings in January if we don't have anything going?
We need to have something together for the February meetings.
Well, that's
probably the committee.
We could have it.
Yeah, I mean, we can meet just as soon as possible and kind of set a course of action. I don't know what your schedule is like, Frank, but I'll be available.
I will too, other than right at the holidays. Which
I mean, if we could schedule something even this week to just get some direction and say, you know, that I can do that anytime. I can do it during
Thursday or Friday. Couldn't do anything until Thursday.
And Thursday or Friday is good for me. And I don't if that's good for you. And everything. And then I can get with Bob Paulson I'll shoot for Thursday if that's okay with you guys.
Okay.
Well, if you want somebody off the board, Sean volunteered. He said he'd like to set up.
He's not here tonight, so
notify
we can vote.
Notify him.
Mm-hmm. He is in Iowa right now, but he said he would be back for the next meeting. So
he may not be back by Thursday, but we can get him on his phone because he answered today.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But we'll get something together.
So
this
Sean, Jim, Eddie, and Frank.
And Aegis.
That's enough.
And the Aegis representatives.
Bob was a good idea.
Yeah. Now,
got Bob.
I don't know that Bob's going to be quite as willing.
No.
but we'll invite him.
He could be committed
to
others.
Maybe you could get what about somebody off the Board of Adjustment?
Yeah, I will talk to Mr.
They
Clemenson.
They be involved in this.
And also,
what we think. He's going to go to them.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and that's a good idea.
Bob Hansman. He was involved with planning and zoning, I think, in Iowa.
In Iowa.
And everything. And I think he would be interested. I think he is retired, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And so I will contact him and see if he would. He's a pretty sharp fellow, if that'll work. And then I'll try and get something set up for Thursday morning early, and I'll contact everybody and let them know a time, and we'll work on that.
And then report to us next Monday night.
I'm not going to let you answer any questions.
You're not going to let us answer any questions?
No.
Or ask any questions?
Either.
That's fine. Okay.
All right. We'll move in that direction. Give me my papers back.
Well.
My papers.
No.
You want this back?
No, you can have them. That's fine.
Okay. Is there any other new old business?
Make a motion.
I'm making a motion.
To what?
To leave.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
In that direction.
So, didn't you say we were going to do
that? Bob's not going to come to these meetings.
He will be here next week.
But not regularly.
Bob has to attend a lot of stuff. And because we haven't been real controversial lately, he's kind of put us on autopilot, I think. But if you feel like you need him here, we can ask him, and he does get with me every time before the meeting and say what's going on, I tell him what's going on,
and
who's going to be here, he's going to be okay. Normally I'll say, yeah.
It's just a nice little turn.
So
the last 2 weeks of the world.
Well, yeah, but we really haven't been dealing with anything.